If you would, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 19 and verse number 5. Amen. I am going to admit I had a completely different message prepared for this evening, but I don't feel to minister that direction tonight, and I'm just going to attempt to follow the Holy Ghost. Amen. Whatever God would have for us tonight. Amen. Luke chapter number 19 and verse 5 says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Amen. We're going to use this verse as a springboard, and we're just going to minister from the word of the Lord tonight. I want to talk about what the Lord came to seek for. Amen. What the Lord came to seek for. If you would, help me to pray, and let's ask for God's help tonight. Lord, I love you, God. God, I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for the truth contained in your word, God, and for the revelation that you give us in your word, Lord. God, anoint it to every heart, to every mind, to every need, to every situation, God. We'll be sure to give you all the praise that's due unto your name. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody said in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can be seated tonight. Praise God. This story that we read here, I just pulled this little excerpt out of this story, but it's a very familiar story. Amen. Especially to the Sunday school kids. We sing about Zacchaeus. We sing that Zacchaeus was a wee little man. The Bible says that he was little of stature. Amen. He wasn't very tall. So he's kind of like me. He was kind of short. Amen. But the Bible says that as Jesus passed through Jericho, there was a man whose name was Zacchaeus. And he was, the Bible says that he was chief among the publicans because he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. This man had heard that Jesus was going to come along this way. This man had heard of all the accounts and all the stories of the things that Jesus had done in other people's lives. And this man desired to touch Jesus. He desired to see something and to experience him for himself. And it says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. He looked up into the tree and he saw this man. And he said unto him, and we sing it, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." Amen. But that's what he said. He said, "Make haste, come down here, because I need to abide at your house today." Amen. If we read on, we can understand that this was not something that was looked upon favorably by the people that were around him. Zacchaeus came down from the tree, we know, and it said that he received him joyfully. But then we read that it said, all they that were around him murmured. They started complaining. They started talking about what Jesus was doing. They started saying, well, why is he going into this man's house? Does he know whose house he's going to? Amen. Does he know that this man is a sinner? Amen. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." You know, he knew that before the Lord was going to come into his house, that he needed to take care of some things. He understood that before the Lord could enter into his presence, that he needed to get some things out of his house. He needed to get some dishonesty out of his house. He needed to get some unrighteousness out of his house. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is the son of Abraham." Even though Zacchaeus was a sinner, even though Zacchaeus wasn't doing everything that he needed to do, he was still a son of Abraham. He was still a Jewish person. He was still the people that the Lord had come to seek after. And verse 10 tells us exactly that. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen. What does that mean? What does it mean for someone to be lost? Amen. There's so many different definitions. Our English language uses the same word for so many different things. We can talk about someone that's lost that when they're driving down the road, and this happens to us guys sometimes, but when we're driving down the road and we're going, I know I'm going east, I know I'm going the right direction, and then you end up in Manitou Springs and you should have been going to Colorado Springs. Amen. I've never done that before, so don't ask me about that. But you're driving down the road and you don't want to stop and ask for directions. That's what happens. And if you do that, then you get lost. Amen. You get lost because you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you've come from, and you don't know the direction that you're going to. Amen. In the day and age we live in today, with GPS and Google Maps and Apple Maps and all these things, it's pretty hard to get lost unless it's not working. Amen. But if you try real hard, you can do it. So being lost can mean that we're lost, that we can't find our way. But being lost can also mean other things. Amen. You see, there were people in that day, and there are people in our day that are lost. Amen. Lost in the sense that they didn't know the direction they were going in their lives. Lost in the sense that they didn't know the direction they were going in their walk with God even. Or lost in the sense that they were groping in darkness. Amen. Blindness and lostness go hand in hand. Because when a person is blind, when a person cannot see where they're going, it is very easy for that person to become lost. Amen. If you don't believe me, try it sometime. Come up to the church in the middle of the night to come up and pray, and don't turn on any lights. And see how long it takes before you run into something. Amen. And it doesn't take very long. And there is a little bit of light in this sanctuary. Even once you come in here, your eyes can adjust to it a little bit. There's exit lights, and you can find your way around in the dark if you have to. Amen. But a person that's truly blind doesn't have that luxury. Their eyes don't adjust. There's always darkness. Amen. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Pastor was talking about it before service, and I had actually felt this on my heart this afternoon and leading up to this, and I was going in a different direction, and what he said leading up to the service and what he was talking about reaching out to the lost, reaching out to those that are blind, reaching out to those that don't know the direction that they're going. Amen. That's what the Lord came for. Amen. If we see all that Jesus did, not only what God did in the Old Testament, what when he came down in the man robed in flesh, what he came to do upon this earth, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. In the Old Testament, he was trying to save them. The continual pattern throughout the entire Old Testament and running into the new was that he was seeking and saving those which were lost. From Adam and Eve, they were lost when they were kicked out of the garden. They were lost when they were cursed. Cain and Abel, amen, all the stories of the Old Testament, there was a progressive plan that God was trying to give them a way that they could be saved, a way that they could be made whole, a way that they could be enlightened about where they were and where they needed to go. Luke chapter number 15, turn there with me today. Luke chapter number 15 and verse 3. It says, and when he spake this parable unto him, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one, does not go and leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, what rejoicing. Amen. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. What does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean that the Lord isn't concerned with the ones that are already righteous? No, that's not what it's talking about. If one of those had strayed and gone astray, the shepherd would have gone after that one as well. But the 99 were the ones that were faithful, the ones that stayed in the fold, the ones that did what they were supposed to do. But one sinner that comes to repentance. And I've witnessed it, and I know you have too. I know you've witnessed it when you've come to church, and we've had somebody that's never come to the church before come into the house of God. And as the preaching goes forth, the Lord touches their heart, and conviction comes upon them, and he pricks their heart, and you begin to see tears going down their face as God begins to move upon them. And they may not come to the altar, they may stand in their pew, but tears just begin to stream down their face. And you know what? The angels in heaven are rejoicing over that one sinner that's coming to repentance. God is moving in a mighty way for that one sinner. Oh, well, there's 99 other ones. What's so important about that one? Well, you know what? I was that one at one point in my life. I was that one before God got a hold of my life, before God got a hold of my heart. I was that one that came to church and didn't understand where I was going and didn't understand what I needed to be doing. But I'm thankful for a shepherd that was willing to put me over his shoulders. I'm thankful for a shepherd that was willing to carry me a little ways when I was not able to carry myself. Amen. I'm thankful that there was a shepherd that when I was walking in darkness and I was lost, and you know what? Sometimes it's not altogether our fault, but sometimes it is. Sometimes it's the bad decisions that we make. Sometimes it's the bad decisions that we make in life that get us into the dark places. Amen. When we come to God and we don't know anything about Him, we choose to get ourselves into darkness. But He's the one that chooses to get us into light. Amen. It says, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents. The angels rejoice when one sinner comes to a place of repentance. How much more do they rejoice when an entire altar full of sinners comes to repentance? Praise God, on the day of Pentecost, they were in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And all of them, all 120 of them, were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues as the Lord gave the utterance. Amen. Praise God. And you know, there was some rejoicing going on in heaven. Amen. And then those that stood around and watched, those that came to God after that, 3,000 souls were added unto the church. There was some rejoicing going on in heaven. Why? Because of one lost sheep. If there had only been one that had gotten the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, it would have still been a success. If there's only one that gets the Holy Ghost in church service, and you know that's not what God's will. God's will is to add to the church daily such as should be saved. But I'll tell you what, if it's a month or 3 months or 6 months before somebody comes and gets the Holy Ghost, when they do get it, there's angels in heaven rejoicing over the work and the effort that went into that one coming unto the altar. Praise God. Praise God. There's going to be joy in heaven. Amen. When you came to God, there was joy in heaven. Amen. You felt it. Amen. And maybe those who were praying with you felt it. Amen. But there's rejoicing. There are angels that are encamped about you. Amen. When you're being filled with the Holy Ghost. The presence of God. Amen. I know when I came to God, the presence of God was so strong and I didn't even know what I was feeling. Amen. Many of you could probably say amen. You didn't understand it. Why? Because you were lost. You were in darkness. Your eyes were not lightened. They were not enlightened to what was going on just yet. Amen. But that didn't stop God from doing a mighty work in your life. Jump down to verse number 8, Luke chapter 15 and verse number 8. It says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. It's almost as if he's repeating himself. He's using this parable to teach us the same lesson. He's using it to drive home the point that it's more important that we seek after the one than the 99. It's important that we seek after the one that's lost than the 9 that we still have in our hand. Amen. When she lost it, amen, she began to clean her house. Amen. She began to look under the bed. She began to look under the couch. Where did it go? I know that I had it. Amen. Silver was a precious commodity. Silver costs something. Amen. Amen. And the Bible doesn't tell us how she came about to have this silver, how she got this possession, whether it was given to her, whether she earned it, she went to work for it. The Bible doesn't tell us, but we know that it was important to her. Amen. We know that it was important. We know that this silver had value. It cost something in her life. It meant something in her life. And because of that value, it was worth it that she was willing to look for it. Amen. I wonder how many of us, when we were sitting at home or we were going through the course of our day before God got a hold of us. Amen. When we were just wandering through this life trying to seek whatever it is that could make us happy. Whatever it is that could fill that God-shaped void inside of us. Amen. I wonder how many of us could consider ourselves valuable. Amen. I know before I came to God, I didn't hold myself to a whole lot of value. Amen. I didn't look to myself to be much of anything. I didn't think that I valued much of anything. Amen. But I'm so thankful that the Lord saw value in me. I'm so thankful that He looked at me as one of those pieces of silver. Amen. That just because I was lost and He had all that He needed, that nine pieces of silver was adequate to sustain her. Amen. But that one piece of silver was more important than those nine pieces. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not downplaying. I'm not discrediting anybody that's living for God or walking with God or staying faithful to God. I'm not downplaying that. You're no less important to God. Amen. But God is concerned with the lost. God knows that you're in the light. God knows that you're in the truth and that you can get your way and you can pick yourself up. And God, through the Holy Ghost, can sustain you and keep you all the way to heaven. Amen. But the one that's lost doesn't have the ability to find their own way. The one that's lost cannot get their own way. They can't find themselves. Amen. If they're under that bed, they can't get out from under that bed by themselves. But somebody's got to go looking for them. Somebody's got to go seeking for them. Amen. The Bible says that she seeked diligently. Amen. Amen. I wonder, are we seeking diligently for that which is lost? Amen. I know that when I came to God, and I'm sorry, I'm using myself as an example. That's what I know. Amen. I know many of your testimonies as well. But I know when I came to God and I first came to Bible study, amen, I was thankful that someone was seeking me, even though I didn't understand it. Even though I didn't know what was going on, and even though I didn't altogether have the right reasoning and thoughts for coming to Bible study, I was thankful after God filled me with the Holy Ghost that someone went out of their way to speak a word, that someone went out of their way to teach a Bible study, that someone went out of their way to reach this lost sinner boy that was so far away from God. Amen. And such as were some of you. Amen. We've all come from a mighty long way, and now we sit on Pentecostal pews and we enjoy the presence of God. We feel it. We almost take it for granted. We come into the house of God and we're like, oh, there's the Holy Ghost. And we sometimes take it for granted because we've gotten so used to it. But there are people right outside the doors, right across the street, and all around this block that have never experienced or felt what we've felt ever a day in their lives. We seek diligently until we find it. Praise God. And when she found it, not if. Oh, well, it must not be the will of God that I find somebody. It must not be the will of God that I reach somebody. But it says, when she found it. That means she didn't give up until she found it. It says, when she found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together and said, rejoice with me. There is nothing that is more exciting to a church than a new convert coming and praying through to the Holy Ghost and God filling them with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And being baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of their sins. There should be nothing that is more exciting. We should rejoice about nothing more than that. Amen. Well, I got a new car. I got a new house. None of it matters. You can't take it with you. We can't take any of it with you. But we can take a soul with us. We can take a soul to heaven with us. Praise God. Rejoice with me, for I have found that peace which was lost. Praise God. God and the angels in heaven, they have joy, amen, over one sinner that repents. Amen. One. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. You're welcome for not making you turn too far tonight. It says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Amen. We know that this younger son had an inheritance coming to him. And he said, give unto me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He was the younger son. So in that time, he was given a lesser portion, or he was given one portion where his older brother would be given a double portion. The firstborn would be given a double portion. We don't know how much money he had, but it was probably riches to him. Amen. He had never had this much money. And as youth, sometimes we don't know what to do with that much money. Amen. But he had this money, and the Bible says that he journeyed into a far country, and he wasted it. He wasted it. And the Bible says that he did it on riotous living. That's a party life. Amen. He began to party. Amen. He began to live it up. He began to do whatever he wanted to do. As the Old Testament says, he began to do that which was right in his own sight. Amen. And whatever felt good to him. And he said, well, this feels good today, so I'm going to go this direction. Alcohol feels good, and so I'm just going to start drinking alcohol. And drugs feel good, so I'm just going to start doing some drugs. And immorality feels good, so I'm just going to go that direction. And the Bible calls it riotous living, and he wasted his living with every bit of it. He did whatever he wanted to. He wasn't concerned about the consequences. And the money, no doubt, he had enough that he thought he would never run out. Oh, I've got enough to last me forever. Amen. But we know that it didn't. We know that it didn't last very long. It says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Amen. He had a void in his life. Amen. He had a void in his life. He began to be in want. He needed something. He had tried the drugs. He had tried the alcohol. He had tried the immoral lifestyle. He had tried whatever it was that he could to try to fill that void in his life without fate, without luck, without any success. And it says that he began to be in want. And it says he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. This was beneath him. This was something that he would never be expected to do. But he had gotten to a place where he was at an all-time low. It says, and he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Amen. He was in the pig pen eating the food that the pigs were eating. How low? How low do you have to get before you realize that you've hit rock bottom? And how many times, how many of us had to hit rock bottom before we recognized how low we really were? How many of us had to get to a place where we realized, I can't go any lower unless I start digging, because I've hit the bottom here. Amen. I know before I came to God, I had hit rock bottom in my life. Amen. I had considered and even attempted suicide. I had tried to get out of this life because I felt like this life had nothing for me. I felt like I couldn't find the joy, and every time I did, it wasn't lasting. It didn't last. It didn't suffice. It didn't keep me. I was always looking for more of it, for something else. And I never could find it. And I did. I tried. I'm not proud of that. But I felt like I had no other choice. And you know what? God spared me. God was gracious to me before I even knew him, before I even came to him. And he gave me an opportunity. He gave me a chance. Amen. And it wasn't some 2 or 3 months later, maybe not even that long, maybe a couple months later, that I was invited to a Bible study. And you know, part of me, I said, well, you know, I can learn to argue with people that know about the Bible. And that was my mentality. That was what I said on the outside. But deep down inside of me, I said, maybe this is what I need to fill this void in my life. Maybe this is what will give me true joy. Praise God. And I can tell you, it is. Praise God. It's that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. This is what we take for granted in church services is what is filling the void in each of our lives. Praise God. This young man, verse 17, it says, when he came to himself. When he realized where he was at and how low he had gotten, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? They're throwing away their leftovers. And I perish with hunger. I know that I've gotten myself into this situation, but my father's servants have it better than I do. He said, and he began to think, the wheels began to turn in his head. And he began to think in his mind, he said, I can go back home. And I know I won't be able to get my place of prestige and my place of position back, but I can be one of my father's servants. And he's not going to make me feed the swine. And he's not going to make me eat what the swine eat. Amen, that there's bread for me in his house. There's bread in the house of God. Amen. This is the bread, amen, that we partake of. Amen, and we've got plenty to spare. Praise God. There's bread enough and to spare. But yet there are people outside those doors that perish with hunger. He says, I will arise and go to my father's house and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. What does that mean? When I say I have sinned, what does that mean? Heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. So what did he do? He came to an altar and he said, Lord and my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And not only did he ask for forgiveness, because that's a part of repentance, but that's not all of repentance. But he said, I'm going to make some commitments. I'm going to tell you what I did and what I'm going to do. And he said, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. I relegate everything, my position, my authority. Amen. I did that when I left, but I'm not going to try to reclaim that. I just want to be one of your servants. Make me as one of thy hired servants, Lord. Amen. Because I've sinned. Amen. There are people that come to church and they hear the truth and they experience God in such a mighty way. But then somehow, some way, the enemy gets a foothold and he begins to pull and tug on them. And we hate to see it. But they go out into the world. And they go out the doors of the church. Amen. Amen. You know, we could just wash our hands. Say, well, they made that decision. They're making bad decisions. Amen. But I'll tell you what, that's not God's will. We ought to pray for them. And I'm not just talking now I lay me down to sleep kind of prayer. We need to pray for them. I pray. I had a friend when I came to God, and he's gotten away from God, and it's been probably 10 years ago. And I pray for him regularly that God will stir him in his heart and that God won't let him sleep at night. Because this is the only thing that can save him. Amen. There's not salvation outside of the doors of that church. There's not salvation in a far distant country. There's not salvation in riotous living. There's not salvation in doing whatever pleases you or whatever's right in your own sight. But there's salvation in the Father's house. Amen. Praise God. And the Bible says he arose and he came to his father. Amen. These are all thoughts that he had before he ever came back. Amen. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I've got to get back to the house of God. I've got to get back to my father's house. I've got to get back to the place of safety and security. I've got to get back to the place that I can be saved. Amen. And he said, I'm going to do this when I get there. And the Bible says that he arose and he came to his father. Amen. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Amen. There are some people that have left God, that have walked away from God, that may be a great way off. But I want to tell you today, the Father still sees them. And he's still pulling on them. And he's still drawing on their heart. Amen. You cannot experience the Holy Ghost and fire. You cannot experience the infilling of his Spirit and not remember it for the rest of your life. I don't care how far you get away from God. You cannot forget it. And there's always an opportunity. The Bible says he is merciful or full of mercy. the Bible in many places. In fact, there's an entire book in the book of Psalms that continually it says one thing and then it says, and his mercy endures forever. And then it says another thing, and his mercy endures forever. And then it says another thing, and his mercy endures forever. We can't understand that. We can't understand everlasting mercy. We have mercy on people for a little while or as long as it benefits us. But God has mercy on us as long as it's good for us, not for him. Because he knows that this is the only hope that we have. Amen. When he was a great way off, his father saw him. And the Bible says he had compassion. Amen. And he ran. And he fell on his neck. And he kissed him. Amen. You cannot tell me. And the Bible does not say, and if you want to take it completely literally, that's fine. I'm not trying to add to the Word of God. But you cannot tell me that father was not weeping and crying over his son's neck as he kissed him and as he embraced him. That's what it's like when someone comes to God, whether it be for the first time or whether it be when they've gotten away from God and they come back to God. There is such compassion and there is such love upon that person when they come back to God. People get away from God and they think, well, I can never come back because God won't accept me. God will not only accept you, he's going to embrace you. He's going to cry upon you. He's going to love you. He's going to kiss you. He's going to fall in love with you again. Praise God. He had compassion. Amen. He could have been hard to him, but he had compassion. Amen. When people come to the house of God, and I've seen in the short time that I've been living for God, I've seen a wide variety of people come to the house of God. I've seen people that are coming from a very long way. Amen. I've seen people look different and act different and talk different. Amen. Amen. But those people, we need to have compassion upon them. Amen. Well, they're not dressed right, or they're not acting right. Amen. Neither did you when you came to God. Amen. And nobody said a word to you. Nobody said a word to me when I came to God, and I didn't look anything like I look tonight. Amen. Nobody said a word to me. You know what they did? They loved me. Amen. They had compassion upon me. I remember it. I remember it still. I remember when I got in church. I was 21 years old. Amen. And all I had known, all of my friends partied, and then they lived riotous living. You know, they lived these riotous lifestyles. That's all I knew. And if I wanted to go out and hang out with somebody, that was the type of people that I had. So when I came to church, there were people that knew that I didn't need to be around that. Even more than I did. I didn't recognize it, but there were people that understood that I didn't need to be around that type of living. And I remember I would come to church on Sunday morning. Amen. And many times I've only lived 15 minutes away, but I would stay in town and I would stay up at the church between services. And I cannot tell you how many times that pastor invited me over to his house for lunch after church. Amen. He knew that I was a young man and he knew that young men like to eat. Amen. And he was willing to open his home to me. He was willing to have compassion on me. Did it benefit him? No, it was less food probably on his plate. Amen. But he was willing to do it. Why? Amen. Because he saw value in me. And he saw value in each and every one of you. Amen. Just like this prodigal son, his father saw value in him. He wasn't willing to throw him away. He wasn't willing to cast him away and say, you know what? You made a bad decision. You're going to have to live with it. You're going to have to deal with it. And the son goes through his rehearsed lines. He says, to his father in verse 21. It says, then the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Amen. That's a good place to start. Amen. Whether you're coming to God for the first time, or whether you're coming back to God, or whether you've never left the church and you just need to be renewed. Amen. That's a great place to start. That is called humility. God, I've sinned against heaven. And in your sight, God, I don't even deserve to be here today. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm not worthy to be called the Son of God. I'm not worthy to be in your kingdom. Amen. I don't, if you haven't ever come to that place in your walk with God, just hold on for a little while. You'll get there. Amen. Because I know that in my walk with God, I feel like I've fallen short of what God has desired of me. And there's been times that I've had to fall upon an altar and weep and cry my eyes out and say, God, I'm not worthy to even be here. It's like the two men that came, the one, the Pharisee that came to the front, and he said, God, oh, you know, I pay tithes, I do this, I do that, I'm a good person. But then there was a publican in the back, and he couldn't do anything but smite his breast and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen. We come to church, and we can be guilty of telling God how good we are and how much we've done. God, I've prayed this much this week. God, I've fasted this many days. God, I've done this. I've given this. I've done that. Amen. But that man that stood in the back, that smote his breast and confessed his sin and was humble before God, left the house of God more justified than the man that told God everything he had done. Why? Because God honors humility. God's not interested in knowing what we've done. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. The best that we can do is as filthy rags. Amen. But if we come, amen, if we come seeking God, then God's going to come seeking us. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 22, but the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Let's rejoice. He started shouting it from the rooftops. Rejoice with me. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. He said, rejoice with me. I don't even want to focus on the elder son today. That's a whole different message. Amen. But this one that came back. Amen. Verse 27, he said unto him, thy brother is come. Amen. And thy father, or excuse me, this is his servant telling him, thy brother's come, thy father has killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And the Bible says he was angry. Amen. But the father came to him. The father went and spoke to this son as well. And he said, the son said, lo, these many years I do serve thee. This is kind of like that man. He said, the man at the front, the Pharisee at the front, he said, Father, I've done all this. I've never left the house of God. I've never backslidden. I've never done anything. I was faithful. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Amen. Verse 31, jump down to verse 31. It says, and he said unto them, Son, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is yours. Amen. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Amen. This prodigal son had come to himself and he had been found. Amen. When he was over in that far country, it was like he was in darkness. It was like he couldn't find his way back to where he needed to be. Amen. But when he came back, his father said, we're going to rejoice because my son has been found. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Amen. You know, we sometimes take that for granted. We have a revelation of the oneness of God, and that's what I was going to preach about tonight. Pastor talked about it a little bit this morning. I was going to preach about one God, and there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. But we take sometimes these revelations that we get for granted, and we take them as old hat. This is just something we know, something we understand. Amen. But if our gospel is hid, if the gospel of the truth, the death, the burial, the resurrection, if it's hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And we were lost at one point. There was a time in our lives when we didn't have a revelation of one God. There was a time in our lives that we didn't have a revelation of the truth of His gospel. Amen. But it was only because it was hidden from us. Praise God. Verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world, lowercase g, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Amen. How does the gospel shine unto our world? Well, we just take our Bible out and we just hold it out there and it shines to them, right? No, but we take it to them and we shine before them and we speak it to them. Amen. By our words, by the truth that God has put in our heart. He didn't give you the revelation of one God and the Holy Ghost and the gospel plan of salvation just for yourself. He gave it to you so that you could be a light unto a darkened world. Praise God. So that we could shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, referring to the book of Genesis. He, out of darkness, He made the light to shine. The Bible says that He hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God has put this treasure in our bodies. Amen. God has put this treasure in earthen vessels. You know what that earthen vessel is? This bag of flesh that I looked at in the mirror this morning. Amen. He put the treasure inside an earthen vessel. Amen. And it may not be much to look at on the outside, but I'll tell you what, inside it's that Holy Ghost and fire that's keeping me alive. Amen. It may not be much to look at on the outside, but when you go to work on your job, people are going to be able to see that there's something different about you. They're going to be able to see the light emanating from within you. Not a physical light, you understand me, but a spiritual light emanating from within you. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. God puts it inside of us so that we can reach a lost and dying world. Amen. Luke 5 and verse 27. Luke 5 and verse 27, it says, after these things he went forth, and he saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. It says that he left all. That's a message. All right. Praise God. And he rose up and followed him. He left all that he knew. It says, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against him. There goes those Pharisees again. Murmuring against him. What are you doing going and eating with that man? Why do you go and eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Why are you going into somebody's house that's unrighteous? Amen. And look what he says to them. He rebukes them. He says, Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole don't need a physician. Amen. In our day and age, people do go to the doctor even when they don't need to. But most people don't go to the doctor unless they're sick, right? Amen. Most people, I don't like to go to the doctor. Amen. I go once every 10 years unless I have to, you know. I don't like going to the doctor. I like my doctor. He's a good guy, but I'm not good friends with him. I don't want to go to my doctor. But those that are whole don't need a physician. Amen. But they that are sick. Amen. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. When people come to the house of God, and I've seen a gamut of people come to God. I've seen people that are really far away from God. I've seen people that are, at least on the outside, I mean, they're living a good life. They're probably nicer than I am. I mean, they're good people. Amen. But It doesn't matter how good we look on the outside. Are we sinners on the inside? That's what he came to do. That he came to seek and to save them which were lost. Amen. Sister Reed, would you come this evening? I know this isn't profound. I know this isn't swinging from the chandeliers, but I'll tell you, God desires for us to have that same heartbeat. God desires for us to do what he came to do. Amen. When he called us, and we talked about it, I talked about it a couple weeks ago. After that, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you take on the commission that what he did. When he came down into this world, his spirit dwelled in the man Christ Jesus, and his purpose was to seek and to save those that are lost. Now, his spirit dwells within his church, within the body of Christ, and within the people of the body of the church. And if the spirit of Christ dwells inside of you, amen, the reason he put the Holy Ghost in you is not just so you can get to heaven, and not just so that I can get to heaven, and that's important, but so that we can have the same heartbeat that he had when he walked upon this earth. I'm going to seek, and I'm going to save those who are lost. We know that we can't save them, but we can get them to the house of God. We can get them under the voice of a man of God preaching the truth. We can get them into the house of God where they can hear the message of Acts 2:38. We can get them into a place where they can hear John chapter number 3. Amen. The story of Nicodemus. We can get them into the place where we can tell them about the oneness of God, and where we can teach to them the principles and the standards of holiness. Amen. Starting on the inside and manifesting on the outside. But they're never gonna fall under the voice of a man of God if we don't get them through those doors. If we don't seek and save those who are lost. Amen. Why don't we stand together this evening? Jesus, God, I love you. Jesus, God is calling us, church. Amen. God is calling us. Amen. I know that we're reaching out. I know that we're reaching out in Sunday school. I know that we're reaching out to families. Amen. And I'm not saying anything I've said tonight to be condemning. That's not my intention. Amen. But there's always more that we can do. Amen. There's always something more that we can do, that we can put our hand to. Amen. God has put the kingdom of God inside of us. Amen. To some he gave one, to some he gave two, to some he gave five. Amen. He gave you a talent so that you can do something with it, so that you can reach somebody with it, so that you can give increase when he comes, when he returns. Amen. I don't want to, when I meet the Lord, amen, I don't want to tell him that I never want anybody to God. Amen. God, you gave me this truth. You gave me all the tools that I needed to reach somebody. I don't want to be able to tell him. I don't want to have to tell him that, God, I didn't reach anybody for you. Why? Because you were too busy. Because you were too distracted. Because you had more important things to do. Those are excuses. Those are excuses. Amen. But he sought out us, and he sent someone to invite us to a Bible study, or to invite us to the house of God, because he loved us. And there are people in this city, people in this area that God is reaching to, that God is just waiting for somebody to get out of themselves and go knock on their door or go talk to them. Maybe it's somebody on your job. Maybe it's somebody that you run into through the course of your day. God's just waiting on somebody to get out of themselves and to seek those who are lost. Jesus, let's lift our voices right now. God, we love you, Jesus. God, we love you today, Jesus. God. Oh, God, I pray.